Good evening. It's great to see each and every one of you here tonight. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and we'll continue looking at our study there about the work of the church. Just want to remind you of a few things of announcement-wise. Don't forget that tomorrow is our teen challenge home-cooked meal that we will provide for them. That will be tomorrow, Monday, March the 5th, and that will be at 5 p.m. So if you can help with that, please see Ms. Carol Ellison or Ms. Diane Wilkins. Or if you just want to be involved and want to be there and support, please show up at their facility at 5 p.m. Also, men, don't forget about our men's retreat coming up this weekend. If you haven't signed the list in the foyers, we ask that you will do that tonight. It will be a great weekend starting this Friday at 5:30, and we'll eat together. That's always enjoyable. And then we will have a guest speaker, and all that information is in the bulletin. And then we'll conclude Friday night, and we'll come back Saturday morning. We'll be done on Saturday by lunchtime. But it will be a great opportunity. Last year we had about 50 or so, and so we hope that you will plan to be a part of that again. But please sign that list, if you will. I don't know if you know it or not, but there was a lot of activity around our building, really, over the last several days. Saturday, with things going on and the funeral. Also today, we had a wonderful worship and Bible study, but then afterwards we had a shower, and then there were a meeting in the gym with our fifth grade and down parents, and we had a great meeting. We appreciate all of them being there. But there's a lot of activity going on, and you all are to be commended to be a part of that. But also it's a challenge. It's a challenge to involve ourselves in so many activities, but they are worthwhile, and we appreciate you being involved in that. Have you ever thought about the idea, what is the work of ministry? And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. In Ephesians chapter 4, we looked at this text a few weeks ago, and I forgot to say something this morning, but I appreciate Brother Howard and Brother Larry Davis filling in for us last week. We had a great, great group that went to Challenge Youth Conference. And listen, if you've never been, if you have children or grandchildren and you've never been, number one, make sure that they go in the future. And also, one of the things that I've learned by being a part of Challenge Youth Conference is that all the adults are there, not just in our group, but in other groups. All the adults get as much or more out of that as the young people. And so I want to challenge you to think about doing that, especially if you have young people. Plan on that for next year. If you have grandchildren, plan on them going and being a part of that. And appreciate Dustin and all those who lead that up. And had that, a lot of planning goes into that, and a lot of activities take place. We had this year a lot of opportunities to spend time together, which was great. It was almost like our retreat plus CYC. And so it really went well. And so I want to encourage you to think about that next year and think about going and being a part of that. We all get to stay together in one cabin, and that's pretty cool. You get to learn about people, both good and, well, whatever else you want to consider it. But we had a great time, and we appreciate those of you that were not with us praying for us, because it's always great when you have no problems and you have safe travel. There was a minister by the name of Campbell Morgan, he was so popular and so effective that there was he received all kind of offers to go to different places and from different people. But there was a man by the name of John Wanamaker, the great merchant of Philadelphia. He offered to build Morgan a million-dollar church if he would become its preacher. Morgan turned him down, something the wealthy Wanamaker was not accustomed to in his dealings with people. Morgan said, "I'm God's man. If I did that, I would become John Wanamaker's man." What is the work of ministry? In the 1950s, there was a marketing whiz by the name of Stanley Arnold. And he was working at a company called Young and Rubicon, where he was asked to come up with a marketing campaign for Remington Rand. The company was among the most conservative in America. In fact, its chairman at the time was retired General Douglas MacArthur. Intimidated at first by a company that was such a part of America, Arnold also found in that phrase the first inspiration for a campaign. After thinking about it, he went to the New York offices of Merrill Lynch and several other companies and placed the ultimate odd lot order. "I want to purchase," he told the broker, "one share of every single stock listed on the New York Stock Exchange." After a vice president tried to talk him out of it, the order was finally placed. It came to more than $42,000 for one share of each of the 1,098 companies listed on the big board at the time. Arnold now took his diversified portfolio into a meeting of Remington Rand's board of directors, where he argued passionately for a sweepstakes campaign with the top prize called a share in America. The conservative gentlemen shifted around in their seats and discussed the idea for a while. "But Mr. Arnold," said one, "we are not in the securities business." Another said, "We are in the shaver business." Mr. Arnold said, "I agree that you are not in the security business. But I think you also realize that you are not in the shaver business either. You are in the people business." And the company bought in to the idea. You see, most people, when they think about ministry, they have a narrow view of what it even means. Most think of the one who preaches most of the time, or the one who wears that title of minister. This may include the preaching or assisting with weddings and funerals and baptisms and things like that. Or they think of only in the part of leading in the public worship as the church or part of the church and the work of ministry. But the Bible gives a much broader sense of the view of the work of ministry. For example, God's Word tells us that about the priesthood of every believer. All of God's people are to offer up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 9. Every Christian can offer the sacrifice of praise to God, Hebrews chapter 13 tells us. Every Christian offers himself as a living sacrifice to God, Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. Every Christian can approach God directly. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, every Christian can encourage the church and contribute to the growth of the church. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, we've already read. The Hebrews writer speaks of ministry in connection with all Christians when it says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, "For God is not unjust to forgive your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So we can see from Scripture that God's idea of ministry and God's expectation of ministry is that, and we've said this as we've looked at this over and over again, is that He expects all Christians to be involved in the work of the church. Remember, it's as each part of the body of Christ, the church, does its share, that's what causes growth in the body. And so in their book, Bagehot and Collins, they mention two things as it relates to the work of ministry. First of all, they mention God's view, and then they mention how we look at ministry. So they talk about God's view of ministry. The word ministry is found some 41 times in the New King James Version of Scripture, from the book of Exodus all the way to the book of Hebrews. Now, the word minister generally in Scripture means a servant. In fact, oftentimes it's very much related to the idea of deacon. But it's the idea of service. And every Christian is a servant of God. Therefore, as Christians, we are all ministers.
Now, I looked up some biblical examples of ministry found in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, and this is what it said. Ministry is discipleship in general. It is service rendered to the church because of the gifts bestowed. And if we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible tells us there, Paul talks about how all of us have been given various talents and abilities. All of us have been gifted in some way or the other. And so the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says, ministry, the work of the ministry is service rendered to the church because of the gifts bestowed. That means every one of us has a part. Specifically, the ministry of the word, and most frequently, the apostleship, it says. Such services as feeding the poor or organizing and providing the great collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. Such services as those rendered by Stephanus and some other early church fathers. And so the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia even adds to what it means about that word ministry. It all shows, the scripture shows, and this encyclopedia show that all of us are ministers and have part in the ministry of the church. You are a minister of God. Someone once said, true Christianity is ministry. True Christianity is a life of service to God and others. It is a life lived to the glory of God. I would agree. Some other examples of ministry and being involved in ministry. The preacher is a minister in preaching. The sister that is in the nursery is a minister who cares for others and cares for those children. The person who cleans the building is a minister who helps maintain the building and the property. Those who drive vans and buses are ministers who serve by helping our groups get safely to and from their trip destinations. The elder is a minister. Elders are ministers who lead, who oversee, and who shepherd the flock. Church leaders minister by helping others to minister. Bagents and Collins bring that out. That church leaders minister by helping others to minister. They say on page 39 of their book, this one concept taken seriously and implemented effectively will transform the church from an audience to an army. From watchers to workers. From recipients to participants. Imagine a congregation, they say, in which literally every person contributes actively to its health and growth. There is no limit to what the Lord can do through such a body of His saints. What a concept. Every person, every part, walking side by side in harmony under one head and for one purpose. Bages and Collins go on to say, recognizing our gifts and submitting to our leaders, we apply ourselves diligently to the life, health, and growth of the church in the image of Christ. You know, I thought about, as I read what they said in this chapter, I thought about, and that's why I mentioned all the various activities that have gone on this weekend. Have you ever just taken our bulletin? You ever just taken the bulletin and just look at all the different things that are put on the front page of the bulletin? The save the date on the back page, that's just activities. And then you look on the inside at all the other different things going on. We are involved in the work of ministry. But we also need to be challenged to continue to be involved in the work of ministry. When you think about, and here tonight's lesson, we're going to turn to several passages. So I'm going to try to give you at times time to turn to those passages or look those up on your electronic device. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And what we want to notice in some of these scriptures is what qualifies in Jesus' mind and Jesus' view as ministry. And so we'll look here in Matthew chapter 10, and then we're going to go to Mark chapter 12. Matthew chapter 10, and I want you to notice verse 42. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. Jesus says, "And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly." Now remember, this morning we talked about how that's a term that says, listen, what I'm telling you is worthy of your attention. I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. What qualifies in Jesus' view as ministry? Taking care of little ones. Taking care of those in need. Turn now, if you will, over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and I want you to notice particularly verses 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Here's where Jesus gives us that story about the widow's two mites. A lot of interesting things here in this story. But the Bible says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrans or a penny in our day and time. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, but in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" So another aspect of ministry in Jesus' view is that of giving. In fact, Paul would quote Jesus in the book of Corinthians. It says, "For God loves a cheerful giver." Now in Mark chapter 14, we won't take the time to read that, but in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, Jesus promised that the good deed of the woman that anointed her with him with this fragrant oil, he said to her, "Wherever the gospel is preached to the whole world, what you have done will be told." So some of the aspects of ministry in Jesus' view is that of taking care of little ones, not mistreating little ones or those in need. Also giving, giving from the heart. And also how this lady came to him, gave to him. We can also consider that great judgment passage in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, in verses 31 and following, "Those who were saved, they were blessed for having fed the hungry, given drink to the thirsty, shown hospitality to the stranger, clothed the naked, and visited those that were sick and in prison. And whenever they served, even one of the least of these, my brethren," Jesus said, "you have done it to me." See, sometimes we have the idea of ministry or service that it's got to be these grand things. But Jesus says, listen, when you did it to one of the least of these, you have done it to me. And that's a reward. But the opposite was also true of those who were sent away into everlasting punishment. So these give us some idea of God's view of ministry. But what might be our understanding of ministry? Well, keeping in view of with what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 here, verses 11 through 16, we can see that the work of ministry, and we've already said this, includes any action that encourages, that edifies, and that builds up the body of Christ. Which brings up a question. When I take my talents and my abilities, am I using those to edify, build up the body of Christ? It includes all those actions that work toward the unity and the growth of the body. I want us to think about Bages and Collins lists some works of ministry that Christians can be involved in. Go ahead and turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want, maybe you can underline some of these in your Bibles. Some examples of the work of ministry that Christians can be involved in is participating joyfully in worship. I'm glad they had that at the top of our list. When we think about when the church comes together, we have the opportunity to gather with the body of Christ for worship. And what is my attitude as I'm heading that way? What is my attitude? What am I doing when I rise in the morning and I begin thinking about going to worship? That I'm bringing my worship. I heard one person say one time, a preacher say one time about worship, that worship, it's heavily involved and it's not easy. It takes a lot of work. It takes effort on my part. When I come together and I bring my worship to God. You see, that's being a part of the work of ministry. When we come together for that idea of worship, that we bring our joy in to our worship to God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, notice verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A couple of things jump out to me in that scripture is speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It says a lot about worship. It says that worship is both individual and collective, isn't it? I'm coming together and I'm bringing my joyful worship to Almighty God. And I'm singing praises to Him. But in the process, I am encouraging and helping my brothers and sisters in Christ to grow. Look now at the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, Paul would challenge us that a work of ministry is praying for one another. We mention how we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be praying for you. But have we ever thought about that not only is that encouraging to that person, but that's something that I can do to be involved in the work of ministry. Paul would say in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Over in the book of Philippians, Paul gives us another idea of the work of ministry. Doing any needed work in support of the preaching of the gospel. You say, now wait a minute. I don't get up and preach. Well, maybe you don't. But they suggest doing any needed work in support of preaching the gospel. That goes back partly to giving. To different various kinds of work of those who have the opportunity to go about preaching the gospel. It involves inviting people to Bible study and to worship so that they can hear the preaching and teaching of the gospel. It involves so many things. Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. You see, Epaphroditus was ministering to Paul and helping Paul as Paul then in turn shared the gospel. Look now also at another Pauline epistle, Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, Paul reminds us that another work of ministry is that of showing hospitality and love. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that this is a congregation that does so. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 11. Paul said, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I want to commend you. I want to commend you in this aspect. That I've always seen that in this congregation since I've been here, but especially over the last several weeks and months, I have seen individuals serve when called on to do so. I have seen individuals, members of this congregation, mourn with those who mourn. I've seen individuals of this congregation rejoice with those who rejoice. And I want to commend you tonight for taking that seriously. Maybe that's just within your nature. But I want to encourage you and thank you for taking that seriously, because that is a part of the work of the ministry of the church. A couple of more scriptures and then we'll conclude tonight. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Another work of ministry that Paul would share with us is that of working to restore those who have fallen away. In every body that I've been a part of, there's always those who became Christians and then have fallen away. In fact, the Bible tells us, don't be surprised when that happens. Jesus said that in the parable of the sower. That's going to happen. But Paul calls us as a minister of God. Each of us individually, Paul calls us to work to restore those who have fallen away. Listen to what he says. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault or any trespass, you who are spiritual, you who are more mature, you who are not involved in this or been overtaken in this trespass, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul says, those of you that are spiritual, those of you that have not been overtaken in these kind of trespasses, those who have fallen away, you go to them, but now you be careful. You go to them in gentleness. But you also be careful that you are not led astray. Help each other as you bear each other's burdens, because this fulfills the law of Christ. You remember Mark chapter 16. At the end of that gospel, Jesus gives out the Great Commission. And Scripture would remind us there that, you know, all of us have a part in sharing the gospel. We've already mentioned that. In teaching the gospel to others. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. I can share that. I can share what Jesus has done in my life. Jesus died for me so that I do not have to die eternally. Jesus died for me so that my sins can be forgiven. Jesus died for me so that I am no longer chained, bound by that sinful life anymore. I can tell that. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now you see there's a two-part to that verse. Jesus said, go. I want you to go. I want you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, there will be some who believe and there will be some who will not believe. I've thought this before. Maybe you have. I don't really know what to say. And Jesus says, just go share Jesus. Just go share the message of Jesus and what He's done in your life. There will be some who will listen. There will be some who will not. There will be some who will believe. And there will be some who will not. But that's our part in the ministry of the work of the church. Paul would say quickly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, another part is that we recognize and address the needs of fellow Christians. Again, I want to commend you for doing that. You do such a great job of that. But let us challenge, let us encourage one another to continue doing that. Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, we challenge you, we remind you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. And Paul would remind us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, another part of the work of ministry of the church is giving cheerfully, generously, and unselfishly. So let each one give as he prospers in his heart, purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the work of ministry really does include any good action which we do to the glory of God and for the edification and building up of the church. Bages and Collins says this on page 43 of their book. We find an excellent analogy in sports. Each athlete, in his or her unique way, contributes to the success and victory of the team. The primary issue is not one of personal fame or glory. Players ideally do not bicker over who plays each spot, with mutual submission to their coach and a shared commitment to winning, they work in harmony. Why do teams win national championships? Why do teams win championships? Well, you might say, well, they have great players. Sure they do. We've all realized over the last few years, in college football, you can't do well if you don't recruit well. You got to have good players. But what if all of those good players came in thinking about, listen, man, I'm what's going to make this team. You see, you are lucky to have me. I'm such a great athlete. Where would that team end up? They would have several L's, would they not? You see, good coaches know that yes, you need great athletes, but even those great athletes have to realize and work together. Think about how great Michael Jordan was, one of the greatest of all time. Yet you put him on that court without the other four, and we would be saying, Chicago who? You see, what blows my mind about this and what impresses and convicts me about this is we make analogies and illustrations from the sporting world. Who a lot of those people in the sporting world, they're not thinking about God. But even the sporting world knows that if we don't come together and work together, we're wasting our time and it's no good. We might have a lot of fun. And so the challenge is for us in the church who do know better to continue to work together in harmony, realizing it's really not about me. And let's be honest. There are times when we all think, well, you know what? My idea is pretty good. Have you felt that way before? I have. But it's when I submit to the leaders and I realize the church is bigger than me, It may be a great idea, but then again, it may not be what's needed. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving." That word means working together. It actually comes from a Greek word that where we get the idea of athlete. Striving, working together for the faith of the gospel. Someone once said, "No one can do everything. Everyone can do something. When each of us does what God has enabled us to do, what our leaders have equipped us to do, all that is needed will be done." Let me share with you this story I came across called The Cracked Pot. There was a water barrier in India who had two large pots, each hung on the end of a pole which he carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, and while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of a long walk from the stream to the master's house, the cracked pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots full of water to the master's house. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection. Ever felt that way? And miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it had been meant to do. After 2 years, what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water barrier, the one carrying, one day by the stream. "I'm ashamed of myself," the cracked pot said. "I want to apologize to you." "Why?" asked the bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" "I've been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half of my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work and you don't get full value from your efforts," the pot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." Indeed, as they went up the hill, the old cracked pot noticed of the sun warming the beautiful wildflowers on the side of the path. And this cheered it up some, but at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it had leaked out half its load. And so again, the pot apologized to the bearer for its failure. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other side of the path? That's because I have always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walked back and forth from the stream, you've watered them. For 2 years, I've been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have this beauty to grace his house." Isn't it wonderful that we get to come together and be a part of a body that even with my flaws, even with my flaws, I can bring glory to God? Why is that? Because even with my imperfections, even if I'm the best that ever walked in this building. It's not about me, but it's about us working together so that people will say, the God that's read about in the Bible, He is awesome. He is awesome. And you see, that's the work of ministry. When every part does its share, people are able to be blessed because of the work of ministry. Thank you so much for your attention tonight. We always want to offer the invitation. And though this may not be the most convicting lesson, it is one that's challenging to us to think about how we involve ourselves in the work of ministry. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're like that. You feel like that cracked pot. Maybe you feel like, you know what? I'm imperfect. I'm not good enough. I don't bring enough. And we want you to know you are valuable. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like that and you say, you know what? I need to just bring that to you, Lord. And we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we did Brother Donald this morning, as we have others, we can wrap our arms around you and we can say, guess what? We are here with you. You don't have to be perfect. All you have to do is take what God has given you and use it as your part in the work of ministry in the body of Christ and for His glory. And we'll pray with you and pray for you. Maybe it is you're here tonight and you are just carrying some burdens. We always, I think sometimes we misunderstand the invitation. We think it's just for those people who have done wrong and need to make things right. And that's a part of it, but it's also so that we can gather as a family. Sometimes we've gathered up here with people and we prayed. And that's a part of the invitation as well. But another work of the ministry of the church is to proclaim the gospel and to call people to give their life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in that case tonight and we want to assist you in that. We'll pray with you. We'll assist you. We'll help you in your baptism and giving your life to Jesus Christ tonight. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, don't wait another moment, but come forward and let us assist you any way we can as together we stand and sing.